Part 7 Revenues and Their Sources Chapter 48 The Trinity Formula Section 1 Footnote The following three fragments were found in different parts of the manuscript for Part 6. Friedrich Engels End of footnote Capital Profit That is, profit of enterprise plus interest. Land. Ground rent. Labor. Wages. This is the Trinity formula, which comprises all the secrets of the social production process. Furthermore, since, as previously demonstrated, this volume, chapter 23, interest appears as the specific characteristic product of capital, and profit of enterprise, on the contrary, appears as wages independent of capital, the above Trinity formula reduces itself more specifically to the following. Capital, interest. Land, ground rent. Labor, wages. Where profit, the specific characteristic form of surplus value belonging to the capitalist mode of production, is fortunately eliminated. On closer examination of this economic trinity, we find the following. First, the alleged sources of the annually available wealth belongs to widely dissimilar spheres, and are not at all analogous with one another. They have about the same relation to each other as lawyers' fees, beetroot, and music. Capital, land, labor. However, capital is not a thing, but rather a definite social production relation, belonging to a definite historical formation of society, which is manifested in a thing, and lends this thing a specific social character. Capital is not the sum of the material and produced means of production. Capital is rather the means of production transformed into capital, which in themselves are no more capital than gold or silver in itself is money. It is the means of production monopolized by a certain section of society, confronting living labor power as products and working conditions, rendered independent of this very labor power, which are personified through this antithesis in capital. It is not merely the products of laborers turned into independent powers, products as rulers and buyers of their producers, but rather also the social forces of their labor and socialized form of this labor, which confront the laborers as properties of their products. Here, then, we have a definite and, at first glance, very mystical social form of one of the factors in a historically produced social production process. And now, alongside of this, we have the land, inorganic nature as such, rudis indigestaque moles, a rude and undigested mass. Ovid, Metamorphoses, Book 1, Part 7. In all its primeval wildness. Value is labor, therefore surplus value cannot be earth. Absolute fertility of the soil effects nothing more than the following. A certain quantity of labor produces a certain product in accordance with the natural fertility of the soil. The difference in soil fertility causes the same quantities of labor and capital, hence the same value, to be manifested in different quantities of agricultural products. That is, causes these products to have different individual values. The equalization of these individual values into market values is responsible for the fact that the, quote, advantages of fertile over inferior soil are transferred from the cultivator or consumer to the landlord, unquote. Ricardo, Principles, London, 1821. And finally, as third party in this union, a mere ghost. The labour, which is no more than an abstraction, and taken by itself does not exist at all, or if we take that which is behind it, the productive activity of human beings in general, by which they promote the interchange with nature. Divested not only of every social form and well-defined character, but even in its bare natural existence, independent of society, removed from all societies, and defined as an expression and confirmation of life, which the still non-social man in general has in common with the one who is in any way social. Chapter 48, Section 2. Capital, interest. Landed property, private ownership of the earth, and to be sure, modern and corresponding to the capitalist mode of production, rent. Wage labour, wages. The connection between the sources of revenue is supposed to be represented in this form. Wage labour and landed property, like capital, are historically determined social forms, one of labour, the other of monopolised terrestrial globe, and indeed both forms corresponding to capital and belonging to the same economic formation of society. The first striking thing about this formula is that, side by side with capital, with this form of an element of production belonging to a definite mode of production, to a definite historical form of social process of production, side by side with an element of production amalgamated with and represented by a definite social form, are indiscriminately placed the land on the one hand and labour on the other, two elements of the real labour process, which in this material form are common to all modes of production, which are the material elements of every process of production, and have nothing to do with its social form. Secondly, in the formula capital, interest, land, ground rent, labour, wages, capital, land, and labour appear respectively as sources of interest instead of profit, ground rent and wages as their products or fruits. The former are the basis, the latter the consequence. The former are the cause, the latter the effect. And indeed, in such a manner that each individual source is related to its product as to that which is ejected and produced by it. All the proceeds, interest instead of profit, rent and wages, are three components of the value of the products, that is, generally speaking, components of value, or, expressed in money, certain money components, price components. The formula capital interest is now indeed the most meaningless formula of capital, but still one of its formulas. But how should land create value, that is, a socially defined quantity of labour, and, moreover, that particular portion of the value of its own products which forms the rent? Land, for example, takes part as an agent of production in creating a use value, a material product, wheat. But it has nothing to do with the production of the value of wheat. Insofar as value is represented by wheat, the latter is merely considered as a definite quantity of materialized social labour, regardless of the particular substance in which this labour is manifested, or of the particular use value of this substance. This nowise contradicts that, other circumstances being equal, the cheapness or dearness of wheat depends upon the productivity of the soil. The productivity of agricultural labour is dependent on natural conditions, and the same quantity of labour is represented by more or fewer products, use values, in accordance with such productivity. How large the quantity of labour represented in one bushel of wheat depends upon the number of bushels yielded by the same quantity of labour. It depends in this case upon the soil productivity, in what quantities of product the value shall be manifested. But this value is given, independent of this distribution. Value is represented in use value, and use value is a prerequisite for the creation of value. But it is folly to create an antithesis by placing a use value like land on one side, and on the other side, value, and a particular portion of value at that.